Into the Spiritual World, two 10 p.m. screenings of that. The Flatlands Dance Film Festival competition films will be shown tomorrow, Tuesday, September 15th at 7 p.m., offered by the Department of Dance, where they will present films dedicated to dance performance, dance on camera, choreographers, and dance's global impact. Dates and times are available at www.arttheater.coop/full-schedule. Today's Disability Beat is sponsored by our community partner, Jets Pizza. Jets uses only premium ingredients, including dough made fresh daily. Jets Pizza stores are located at 512 South Neal Street in Champaign. Their number 217-352-3333 and 1907 West Springfield Avenue. Their number 217-352-9992. You can order online at jetspizza.com. Also today, Disability Beat is sponsored in part by attorney Baku Patel of Patel Law, who practices Social Security disability law and represents those who have been denied benefits. There are no fees unless Patel Law wins your case. You can contact Patel Law at 217-384-1111 for a free consultation to discuss your Social Security disability case. Patel Law is located at 108 West University Avenue in Urbana, with offices in Danville and Decatur. For more information, visit patellawteam.com or call 217-384-1111. And now stay tuned for Disability Beat.
My name is Deb Frank Finan from the city of Champaign. You're listening to Disability Beat on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, community radio for East Central Illinois.
This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. I have in the studio with me actually my guest on the show today, but also here to help me pitch, Al Kurtz, who is the former chair of the Champaign County Board. Welcome, and a WEFTy, an ear shifter,
yes,
who
I
has
am.
His own show on the station here. Al, what do you have to say about Pledge Drive and WEFT?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a fairly new WEFTy. My show's been running for about 4 months now, Big Al's Community Chat, and I can only tell you this is a family operation. This is volunteers from all over the city of Champaign and Urbana and the county, and they come here because they love to absolutely give information out, important education, and just things that you won't hear on regular radio. Now, we've been in business for 36 years, and I'm a new guy, but I can tell you how important it is now to keep this radio station on the air. We're having some problems, like many institutions, financially today because of one, lack of a budget, lack of grants, and things of that sort. And we lost a major grant last year, which was nearly half of our operating budget.
Actually, more than half.
It was more than half. And for us, that was a terrible situation. We are now trying very hard to go to the community and ask for your help. We want to stay on the air, and I'm sure our listeners and you who are listening today want to help us. Please go to weft.org, or what's our phone number here, Vicki, that we can call?
359-9338.
Thank you. So please, donate. If you give us more than $90.10, or give us $90.10, you're going to get a premium. One of these great T-shirts or a sack. What is that?
A tote bag.
A tote bag.
Yeah, and they're great this year.
They're looking wonderful, and they come in great colors and all sizes. So if you want to go to, if you have some time and you're a computer geek like I'm not, you can go to weft.org and just hit the support button and follow the directions. Give us a hand. Help us stay on the air.
Thanks very much. And let's go ahead and hear the news for today, for this week. Over 1,000 people with developmental disabilities will be able to leave sheltered workshops for competitive employment under a proposed settlement in a first-of-its-kind class action lawsuit. The U.S. Department of Justice said last week that the state of Oregon has agreed to cut the number of adults working in sheltered workshops by nearly 400 and reduce hours worked in such settings by almost a third in the next 2 years. Meanwhile, the state will provide 1,100 adults with developmental disabilities who are currently employed in sheltered workshops, as well as 4,900 individuals with disabilities in supported employment services, so that they can obtain competitive employment over the next 7 years. The settlement comes in a 2012 case brought against top Oregon officials by residents with developmental disabilities and their advocates, who alleged that the state violated the Americans with Disabilities Act by failing to provide supported employment services. Without such services, the suit charges that residents with developmental disabilities were left to work in sheltered workshops for less than minimum wage. Plaintiffs in the case included individuals with disabilities who were employed in segregated settings despite past experience working at places like McDonald's, Safeway, and other establishments, and a desire to work in community-based settings. Though the plan will reduce the number of people working in sheltered workshops in Oregon, a Justice Department fact sheet on the deal said that the goal is not to shutter such placements, but to ensure that those who want to work in integrated settings have a realistic opportunity to do so. The lawsuit is the first ever to challenge a state-funded and administered employment service system for violating the integration mandate under the ADA, the Justice Department said. Prior to reaching an agreement in the case, Oregon had taken steps to reduce its reliance on sheltered workshops and enhance competitive employment options for people with developmental disabilities. This is a big win for Oregonians, according to the state's Governor Kate Brown. Quote, "This settlement continues our commitment to ensure that all Oregonians are part of the economic recovery," end quote. The settlement must still be approved by a judge. Legislation approved by the U.S. Senate last week may soon make it easier for people with disabilities to save money. The bill, known as the Special Needs Trust Fairness Act, would allow individuals with disabilities to establish a special needs trust for themselves. Under current law, such trusts must be created by a parent, grandparent, legal guardian, or a court. Said Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa, who sponsored the legislation, quote, "Those who want and need to set up a trust to help pay for their care shouldn't have to jump through hoops to do it. This bill allows individuals to act in their own interests with their own assets without having to rely on a family member or the courts," end quote. Special needs trusts can be vital for people with disabilities who rely on government benefits like Medicaid and supplemental security income. To qualify for such programs, individuals cannot have more than $2,000 in assets at any given time. However, money saved within a special needs trust does not count against the asset limit. A companion bill is currently pending in the House of Representatives. Separately, states are working to implement the Achieving a Better Life Experience, or ABLE Act, which offers another way for people with disabilities to save money. Under that law, individuals with disabilities will be able to establish ABLE accounts where they can accrue up to $100,000 without compromising their government benefits. Even after ABLE Acts become available, however, experts say that deposit limits on the new accounts will mean that many people with disabilities will continue to rely on special needs trusts as well. Linda Weston, the Philadelphia woman charged with enslaving and torturing adults with disabilities for years in a basement so she could steal their benefit checks, pled guilty Wednesday in a deal that spared her a potential death sentence. Instead, she agreed to accept a life term plus 80 years after admitting to all 196 federal counts filed against her, including charges of murder, kidnapping, sex trafficking, hate crimes, forced labor, and benefits fraud. Weston, age 55, appeared addled and confused through much of Wednesday's hearing, at one point loudly proclaiming she wanted to enter a not guilty plea before quietly reversing herself. Her decision ends years of internal Justice Department debate over whether to seek her execution for a series of crimes. Court documents say the group stole more than $200,000 in Social Security benefits from their captives by pressuring them to sign documents naming Weston their designated payee. They forced others, including Weston's 17-year-old niece, into prostitution. The decision to offer a plea deal came after a very deliberate process in consultation with Weston's defense team and U.S. Attorneys General Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch. All of Weston's victims and their families were notified in advance of the plea deal and none objected, Barrett said. And finally, the ease of finding a job varies from state to state for the average person, but the location makes an even greater difference for a job seeker with a disability. Some 70% of working age people with disabilities are out of the workforce, compared with 28% of working age people out of the workforce overall. But in North Dakota, 52% of people with disabilities are employed, according to a new report from Respectability USA, a nonprofit advocacy group. Wyoming, South Dakota, Alaska, and Minnesota round out the top five states, each with close to half of its residents with disabilities in the workforce. Kentucky, Mississippi, and West Virginia fall out on the opposite end of the spectrum, with roughly 75% of people with disabilities not working. The ability to find work is crucial to people with disabilities. Not only does having a job help create a sense of identity and purpose, but people with disabilities often have higher costs of living that they need to support through employment. And for those who are curious, Illinois landed at number 41 out of 50 states with an employment rate of 25%. And that's the news for this week.
You got me working, working, and we're putting in every day. You got me working, working, and we're pushing it in every way. Yeah. You got me working, working, and we're putting in every day. You got me working, working, and we're pushing it in every way.
This is Disability Beat, WEFT Champaign, 90.1 FM. I welcome Big Al to the show.
Hi, Vicki.
And we're going to do, just for those of you who didn't hear us right before, we're going to give you a little bit more information about the WEFT Pledge Drive before we get on into our discussion today.
I don't know how long you've been listening to WEFT, but 90% of our funding comes from the community. And that's been our mantra from day one. This opportunity to help us become a success is something that only you can help us with. I'm new to WEFT, but I have fallen into this incredible group of people who have one common goal. That's to bring music, life, education, and important information to this community that you don't hear on other radio stations. And if you want to turn your passion for the music into a pledge, or turn your passion from listening to this radio show or any of our radio shows, please give us a call or go to weft.org and pledge as much or as little as you can. We need as much or as little as you can afford.
We're looking for 500 members this pledge drive, and we only have 1 week to go. We need to push hard, and we need to push it fast, because we're only about a quarter of our way to our $40,000 goal. That's a long way off. And so if you've been listening and thinking, yeah, I really should, I listen to WEFT regularly, or even occasionally. If you love anything that is on this station, you really need to make your pledge and do it today. The number is 217-359-9338, or go to our website at weft.org.
And we look forward to welcoming you to the WEF family.
And it really is a family, isn't it?
Absolutely. We just have great times in the evening together at our meetings. And it's just a great bunch of just people from all over the community here, from every background. We have professors, researchers, business people, just family people who come in.
Working people. Blue collar.
It's you name it, blue collar, white collar. And that's the uniqueness of this radio station.
So give us a call, 359-9338. Better yet, go to our website, www.weft.org. You can listen while you pledge. Do two things at once, multitasking. So enjoy that. So I welcome, as I said, I welcome my guest today, Al Kurtz. Al is, in addition to being a new WEFTY here at the station and having his own program, he is the former chair of the Champaign County Board, which has done much in many years to support the issues and the needs for individuals with disabilities. And they continue to do that, though Al has stepped back for the time being. You never know. The world of politics calls often, you know, multiple times for people. So welcome to the show, Al.
Thanks very much. It was a pleasure to work for the community as a member of the board. I was on the board for 6 years, and for 2 years I was the chairman of the county board and chief elected official. And we worked many, many hours with the mental health board, the disabilities board, and we wanted to make sure that our community understood how important disabilities and being able to help those with disabilities is one of our prime priorities here in Champaign County. The mental health board and the Developmental Disabilities Board literally have millions of dollars to distribute within our community, all based on your help through property taxes and other taxes that help us to bring to them a sense of accomplishment where we can help train them, help them to become self-sufficient, help them to live on their own in many cases, be able to become oriented to the community and become worthy citizens and taxpayers. Rather than them taking from the taxpayer, they return to us after what the Mental Health Board and the Disabilities Board can do. We help to put them into what we call CASA, these important homes that they live on their own, allow them to really live their own, what we call them person-centered living, where they can choose how they want to live, how they want to work, and give them the opportunity to go out and do that. And that was our goal, and we've reached it. But as you know, finances have become very difficult to come by. The state has no budget. It still doesn't have a budget. How do you budget something when you don't have and understand how much money you're going to be able to distribute, which is one serious situation. Of course, the other serious situation is, besides disabilities and mental health as well, that has become a target for some politicians who feel, you know, let's put him in jail rather than put him into a position of being able to be helped. And that goes for disabilities as well. For some reason, these are the most vulnerable in our society, yet the common sense is we need to help them. That's they're part of our community. Yet you'll have some who are so, I won't use the term that I want to use, but they don't seem to see the common sense and the sense in helping these people, because it's cost savings rather than cost. It's cost efficient to be able to help them become self-sufficient. It would cost us less if they would give us the money we need to help these people.
Absolutely. And we look and we talk frequently on this program about the cost of living in the community and getting the support that you need there, as opposed to living in institutional care, which, you know, you live in a state institution, it's costing the state about $250,000 per year per person to do that. And for really good community services for a typical person, it may cost anywhere from $40,000 to $50,000. So a significant amount of money that goes into that.
Penny wise and pound foolish is an old cliche, but it seems like our government officials at state and federal level are rather short-sighted than rather looking in the long term and understanding the savings gained in the long term by putting some money up in the short term.
Absolutely. And fortunately for Champaign County, a lot of that money, or maybe all of it, you can answer that question, all of those millions of dollars that are distributed by the Mental Health Board and the Developmental Disabilities Board, those dollars come from the taxpayers of Champaign County.
That's correct. That's correct. And there's some grants that also come from the state, and that's another situation that we have. The disabilities at the nursing home, which is another issue. But here we have the same problem. They're not funding the Medicaid. People that are in the nursing homes, that's costing us tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars a nursing home, which might put the nursing home in jeopardy because the state is, well, spending more money than they have and not putting the money where it should go.
Well, they're not spending any money right now.
Right now.
So everyone's going without at the moment. They're, you know, the focus on cutting all the little projects, the little groups that are doing some really creative stuff just to save, you know, the existing services is really discouraging to me. But the board, the Champaign County Board, has done some really progressive stuff in funding new and interesting and innovative projects through those two, through the two boards.
Yes, they have. The Mental Health Board, while I was still on the county board, put together about $100,000 for purchasing homes for about 16 or 18 of these disabilities that have been living, who live in Champaign or live in this community, but have to live outside of the community because we didn't have the facilities for them.
Right.
And so the Mental Health Board put up, it was about $100,000 to purchase a number of homes here so we can bring those people in and have their families work and help as a team to be able to help them to live a wonderful life here in the county where they live.
Near their family members,
yes.
Which I know that one of those homes has opened.
Yes.
And is functioning
great.
Well, and I know a couple of the people whose adult children now live close to them, whereas, you know, one family in particular, their son used to live up in Dixon, Illinois, 3 hours away. They hardly ever got to see him. And now it's every week they get to see him.
Well, it helps not only the family, but they're able to help their adult children even now because they're so close by. And that's another issue that the Mental Health Board has taken on. Now, while I was on the board, the Champaign County Board decided to expand the DD Board's participation. We had three members at one point. The problem with three members under the Open Meetings Act is simply if two of you talk, you're now violating the Open Meetings Act because you have a quorum.
Right.
And so many of the boards that are three members have difficult time communicating with each other because they're not allowed to talk except when they have an actual meeting and there's an agenda. So you can't discuss information that comes to you during the month with your other board members. So the county board decided to expand it to five, and I chose three of those five. One was coming off the board. I think they've done a wonderful job now as a board of five. Now they can communicate, they can talk, and they can become much more efficient.
Yeah, and so it's not possible to increase the number to like seven.
Well, it's. I would think it would be up to the county board if they wanted to increase it even further, but I haven't looked at statute on that.
Yeah.
But we were able to bring it to five. with a vote at the county board level.
And don't you think just having more heads in the room is sure. a better way to make decisions?
Of course. Yeah. And I had a really tough choice, honestly. There were so many qualified people who wanted to join the board. It was a very, very difficult decision. I had nearly seven, I had seven or eight interviews I had to take with each one. And each one had a disabled child. Each one has been a force in the community in those areas. And it was difficult, but I think we picked some really good people because they cared about the issues of certain moving forward. It's very important that you move forward progress with the disabilities and how we work with them rather than have them become subsistent to us, have them become self-sufficient. So we've changed the policy, so to speak, of looking at disabilities in a different way.
Right. So when the boards are making decisions about how to spend the money and who to give grants to, that's really up to the board, that small board itself. The county board doesn't step
That is correct. The money is in the hands of the mental health board, which have, I think, nine members. Mm-hmm. Seven or nine members. I can't remember that. I thought they expanded it. And five members of the DD board. The mental health board works with the DD board and issues the dollars to them. And then they work with all the social services in the community and all the disability programs and dole out like to DSC, which has a large volume of disabilities, people working for them. And that money, much of it or a lot of it, comes from the state, but also from the DD board.
Right. So, yeah, I think the last I heard, the DSC gets about 94%, maybe a little bit more, of all of the money that comes into the DD board.
I'm not sure if it's that large at this point. I know that what had happened was Dale Morrissey is the CEO. I know him very, very well. I've worked with him for years. As you know, the state has backlogs of payments, and he was behind like $2 million from the state. And so he was working very diligently to try and gain enough funding to keep his programs going. I'm not sure exactly because I've been away on exactly what the last budget was for DSC. I knew it was a substantial part of the DD board.
Right, and they played a big role in getting the funding, getting the tax initiative up and going.
Yes, they did.
To get that funding going for the county itself.
Correct.
I hope that the DD board and the mental health board, though, look at also funding more creative initiatives, because I think that the more we put our money into the traditional group home and sheltered workshop scenario, the less is obviously available for anything different. So anyway, we are completely out of time
that
now.
Was quick.
I know, it's only a half an hour show. Yeah. Thank you for joining me today. Al and I will be around for a few more minutes. If you want to make a call and make a pledge, the number again, 359-9338, and we'd be happy to talk to you.
And just one other thing, on September 23rd, Big Al's Community Chat at 8 p.m. we'll have the chairman of the county board, Patsy Petrie, on our show.
Excellent. Thanks for joining me today. Al Kurtz.
It's a pleasure,
Wefty,
Vicki. Pleasure.
Wefty and
Wefty,
former chair.
Yes, proud of it.
This and other episodes of Disability Beat are podcast on our website at www.disabilitybeat.com, or go to Facebook and look for Disability Beat Radio. Please send your comments and show ideas for guests or topics to disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Hope you have a great week. Shooting.